Okay, so how's it going, everyone? Everyone's good? I'm going to keep on doing this until people get it. If you're good, go away. We don't want you here. Only the suffering ones. We want here the losers, the loners, the broken ones. The torn, the ambiguous, the forlorn, the lost. That's our people. The happy and the healthy and the well. Now you're good. You can go home. Okay, so Are we streaming this class? Does this get streamed? Everything gets streamed. Okay. Well, I'd like to make a special thank you and acknowledgement to all the people who showed up here in their meat carcasses. Someone told me that there's less people coming to the talks these days because people are watching it online. I thought, okay. But then just this morning we met the guy who lives like five houses down the road. He's like, oh yeah, I watch it at home. It's just so comfortable to be at your couch and watch it. So anyway, I guess that's a testament to the efficacy of the BSWA tech team making it available. All right, so... So this is the quote-unquote advanced class, right? So all the beginners next door, right? If you've come for the beginners class, that's actually, we should all be next door, right? And I should actually be there, but anyway, nominally this is for those who've graduated from the beginners class. Alrighty. So we've come to do some meditation this afternoon. And how do we, I forget, how do we normally do the timing of this? Like 15 minutes of talk and then some meditation, is that right? Something like that? Sit for 45, and then do we have Q&A after that? We have some Q&A after that, all right. So, what kind of meditation should we do this afternoon? Loving kindness? Any other suggestions? Sorry? Breath? More death? Just relaxing? Any others? Okay, so we've had some suggestions. We've got four suggestions on the table. You're going to vote for them. This is going to be your, choose your own meditation, okay? Number one, loving kindness. Who wants to do that? Okay, breath meditation. Okay, more death. I think it just means death. Death meditation. Ooh, not so popular after last night. I think people had no more death, they've had enough death, okay? And just plain old relaxing meditation. Ooh, not very popular. All right, so I think loving kindness won. Is that right? I think so. It looks like loving kindness won this time. Okay. So let's do some loving kindness meditation. We can always throw in a little bit of death just for you, okay? Okay, so the Buddha did teach many different kinds of meditation and many approaches to meditation. And this is always, the simile for this is like the meditation is like a medicine. So if you have different kinds of illness, different kinds of condition, you go to the doctor and they have many different kinds of treatments for the different kinds of illness. So it's not necessarily one treatment for everything. Having said which, there are certain things that a doctor might prescribe for everyone, right? So for everyone, they might prescribe, you know, a healthy diet and regular exercise. You know, that's sort of basic health. So there's some kinds of meditation that are good for everyone. And those kinds of meditation that are very generally prescribed, usually breath meditation and loving kindness, are two of those ones that are generally prescribed as being good for everybody to do. And then there's a whole bunch of other meditations that are a bit more specialized or a bit more specific and that are useful in certain circumstances. So for this afternoon, we're going to do a little bit about loving kindness meditation. And I'm going to talk to you about for the first 10 minutes or so, I'm going to talk to you about the method of doing loving kindness meditation, which I learnt many years ago in Thailand from a teacher called Ajahn Mahachatchai. And this method is designed, or it's put together very carefully. And this is one thing to remember about meditation methods. People often get confused because there's different meditation methods, and then they wonder which one's right, which one's wrong, and so on. How do they choose the different methods? But actually, it's very, very simple. All of the different meditation methods were put together by meditation teachers and practitioners in order to help and support you with your meditation. Okay? So don't think of them as being sort of competing or something like that. They're just different approaches to doing it. So it's not a problem to do different meditation methods, but the thing you want to be careful of is mixing and matching the different methods, because each method is designed to have its own sort of set of checks and balances, okay? Its own kind of particular approach to that kind of contemplation. So when you're learning a method, just learn the method as it is, okay? As much as you can. Right, just try to do that particular method as best as it is. Don't try to mix other things that you've done in with it. Just do that one until you know what you're doing, right? You know, think about like if you're a chef, you're cooking, right? When you're learning how to cook, you don't know what you're doing. You just get a recipe and you just do that recipe. And they might have, you know, two recipes for scrambled eggs, and one says do it like this, and one says do it like that. One says, you know, a teaspoon of pepper, and another says 2 teaspoons of pepper. I don't know, that sounds like very peppery paper, scrambled eggs, but anyway, whatever, you know what I mean. Which one's right? Actually, they're just two different recipes, so you just follow that recipe. But then when you know what you're doing, you don't need to follow a recipe, okay? You just know how to cook, right? So the same thing with meditation. So when you're learning it, you just follow the method. So this particular method is based on the idea that we should develop loving-kindness meditation gradually, starting from home. So we start from where we are at. So that begin with loving-kindness for oneself, loving-kindness to a loved person, to a neutral person, and to a disliked person. Now, for this particular session, we're just doing an introduction to this practice. So we'll just do the first two of those stages, okay? So loving-kindness for oneself, and for a loved person, right? Those two, right? And the secret to doing it in this particular approach is that the feeling, right? So sorry, first of all, is that this meditation on metta, on loving kindness, is all about a feeling, right? It's an emotion. And that feeling and that emotion is something that you experience inside your body. It's an embodied emotion. Yeah. And that's how we develop it, and we turn it into something that will take our mind into deep stillness and into deep meditation. Because it's an embodied emotion. You see, like normally emotions are things that come and go, right? something happens and you get angry, something else happens, you get happy and so on. And you're just sort of at the whim of the different conditions. Different things provoke it. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you just get up in the morning and you feel a certain way because that's just how you are. But in meditation, we try to set up the conditions so that you can develop that emotion and deepen it, and so that it's there whenever you want. And imagine that. Imagine, because what we're talking about here is love. And all of the things that we do looking for love, right? I mean, all of the effort that people go to be loved by their family, by their friends, by their partners, trying to find somebody who will love them. Imagine what it would be like if you could just find that love inside yourself whenever you wanted. Right? That's very, very powerful. And what that means is that once you can do that, that your relationships with others are no longer driven by need. Right? And so the love you have for others becomes very pure, because you're not loving them so that you can get love in return. Right? Do you see that difference? The difference between loving someone because I love them, because I want them to be happy, right? And loving them because they make me feel good. Right? And normally when we love someone, it's kind of a bit of a mix between those two, if we're going to be honest about it. You know, partly we love them because of who they are, and it's a pure feeling, but it's also partly we kind of love them because, well, they're nice to us and they make us feel good. But when we can feel that loving kindness inside of ourselves, then we have the strength and the resilience and the wholeness that we don't need to be looking for that love from someone else. And then we can be the one that provides that love. Rather than being needy. Love becomes something that we have an abundance of. And so through practicing loving kindness meditation, we learn little bit by little bit to experience that metta, that love, inside ourselves. And it becomes something that we can come to whenever we want. You just have to sit down, close your eyes, do some meditation, and then you can enter into that feeling of love. And the crazy thing is this. Yeah, like it really is crazy, like all of the things that people do looking for love. And it's there all along. It's inside you all along. Where do you think it is? Right? Where else could it be? No, it isn't out there in the universe. It's inside you. And it was there all along. But you just didn't notice it because you were so busy looking outside to try to find happiness in everything else. And so we stop and we look inside, and there it is, where we least expected it. And when that moment happens, when you first feel that and you first experience that, it's a revelation. It really is. It's a very powerful experience. Because then you know. You know, I'm sitting here telling you these things, but that's just words. Right? It doesn't mean anything, or it means only a little bit. But when you know for yourself that that love is inside you, that's a very powerful moment. So this is what our meditation is designed to do. It's designed to create a set of conditions that will support your awareness in a way that you can come to know that feeling of love inside yourself. And not only can you come to know that, but you can dwell in that. You can develop it. You can deepen it. you can become one with it. So this is what we're doing when we're doing loving kindness meditation. So before we start the meditation in just a minute, I want you to think of one person who can be the loved person in your meditation. Okay? Just one person. So that loved person should be somebody that it's easy for you to feel love for. So usually like a relative or a friend or something like that. But one thing to be careful of is that it should be somebody who you feel a simple and uncomplicated love for. We don't want any weird, twisted love-hate relationships here, okay? One time when I taught this in Singapore, one time there was a couple at the front of the audience, and as soon as I said that, they immediately looked at each other. They knew what I was talking about. And often it's those people that we're closest to that we have quite complex relationships with, right? It depends. Everyone's different, but it might be our partner, it might be our parents or something like that. Sometimes people that we're a little bit more distant to, we love more simply, right? It might be like grandchildren or grandparents, something like that, right? So just remember that meditation is not the time to be working out all your issues, all right? Meditation is the time to be peaceful. So make the job as easy for yourself as it possibly can be. It doesn't matter too much how strong the feeling of love that you have is. What matters more is how simple the feeling of love is. All right? So we do loving kindness for ourselves, and then we'll do it for a loved person. Okay, so let's start the meditation, and we'll do the guided meditation for the next 45 minutes. Sitting quietly. And let your mind settle back inside your body. Notice the feelings in your body, the pressure of your seat. The sounds around us, the humming of the heating, occasional noises of the birds or the traffic outside. And notice what's going on in your mind. What kinds of things are you thinking about? Say the words. Keep your attention settled inside your body, not letting your awareness drift outside your body. And whenever your mind starts wandering around thinking about this and that, drifting off here and there, and just recognize it. Oh, okay, that's what I'm doing. And bring it back. Settling it once more inside your body.
as you continue that with those words, reminding yourself again and again and again, as you keep looking, sooner or later, maybe you'll see the feeling of metta. Sometimes mind might drop its thinking, its judging, its doubting, and just allow itself to love. And there, softly revealed inside yourself, will be that feeling of love. And you'll experience it like a little patch of moonlight shining through the trees. Or like a soft flower growing in a thorny bush. And when you experience that feeling of love, gently hold that in the mind, as if it were cupping it in their hands and keeping it close like a little baby. May I be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. giving to a metta for a loved person. And when doing this, we just keep everything exactly as it was. We keep the feeling of metta settled and focused inside our body. And we simply substitute the name of that loved one in the words of metta. So if I choose my father, then may my father be happy. May my father be happy. May my father be happy. Or whoever it is that you've chosen as that loved person, may they be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. resting the mind and easing the mind in that feeling of loving kindness. Very soft, very gentle, a beautiful, warm feeling of love, full of joy and happiness. taking that same metta and spreading it out to the whole world. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy. Full and abundant. Vast and unlimited. Spreading love across the whole world. Coming near to the end of the meditation. From loving kindness for the whole world, we come back to that loved person. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. May that loved one be happy. May they be happy. May they be happy. And then to oneself, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. And letting the words of metta go. Letting the feeling of loving kindness fade away. Allow the mind to come back to a neutral, empty, clear space. And in that empty and clear space, take a minute to reflect back over the meditation. Inquiring into cause and effect. Ask yourself, what was it like when I began meditating? What was my mind like? What's it like now? How has my mind changed? What happened during that meditation? Why did it happen? What kinds of things was I thinking about? Did I feel that feeling of meditation? That feeling of metta? If I did feel it, why? What was it? What was I doing with my mind when that feeling came up? If I didn't feel that feeling, then what was that like? How did I respond to not having the feeling of metta? So each time you meditate, just reflect like that for a couple of minutes at the end. And that way you'll learn to understand the process of meditation. You'll learn why your meditation sometimes goes smoothly and sometimes doesn't. And if you do that regularly, soon you'll find that your meditation will go smoothly every time. And finally, before we finish, one last reflection. Remember, we're all going to die. This life that we have, this opportunity that we've had, is fleeting and precious. All those we love, they too will pass away. Everything we see around us will disappear. Don't waste your chance. Don't waste your life. Don't waste the present. Live fully in the present. And then your life will be lived well. And then we can open our eyes and come out of meditation. Just take a minute or two to adjust and settle back. So let's have a look at some of the couple. We have a couple of questions here from cyberspace. So these are either from human beings or from intelligent entities on the internet somewhere. Perhaps these are Russian bots who are generating random questions for the BSWA. Who knows? It's about to happen one day, right? Okay. So, Beverly from the USA. How's it going, Beverly? I hope things are all okay for you. And, well, what can I say? I know things are a little bit difficult in the States at the moment, so I'm hoping that you're holding up and your community and your family's holding up. What would you Beverly says, what would you advise someone who experiences aversion and fear during metta meditation out of a desperate urge to protect oneself? Okay. Interesting. Well, as with so often in meditation, the answer is it depends. And what does it depend on? Well, it depends on a couple of things. Firstly, it depends on whether this is just something passing. Has it just happened once or twice? Is, you know, just happens in a particular meditation? If it's just something passing, happens occasionally, then don't worry about it. Just keep on practicing. It also depends on if somebody has some kind of psychological or mental health issues apart from the meditation. So there's a sort of general rule that if you do suffer from any mental well-being issues, then you need to be extra careful when you're doing meditation. If you have any kind of negative or confusing or disturbing responses during the meditation, then just stop and get some advice. Talk to somebody about it. Unfortunately, you need more detailed advice than I can give you right now. So try to find someone that you can talk to about it. Now, if as a third case, let's assume that you maybe don't have any other kind of underlying mental health issues, and this is not something that happens just occasionally, it's something that happens fairly frequently in your metta meditation, then what should you do about it? Well, in that case, proceed with caution. What happens when we meditate is that, You see, meditation is like, think of meditation as like a playpen, right? It's a sandbox. It's a place that you can just feel things and you can have experiences and anything can happen and it's okay. And this is one reason why I strongly disagree with people who say, oh, you don't need to meditate, just be mindful in whatever you do. That's very bad advice. You can't just, you know, go shopping and be mindful and while you're walking down the shopping aisle just decide to burst out in tears and break down sobbing and rolling around on the floor in a fetal position. Well, you can do that. But not necessarily advisable, right? But you can do that in meditation. And if you're doing meditation and you start crying, it's okay. And if you scream, well, it might be a bit disturbing for people around you, but it's okay, it happens. Right? You might feel fear. Yeah, you might suddenly feel terrible anger. You might feel terrible anxiety. All of these things can happen, and they probably will. So, you know, when we talk about meditation, we talk about it like, you know, you meditate and then your mind becomes peaceful and you get happy and so on. That's just the advertising, okay?
That's like those pictures you see of someone who's like drinking a can of Coke and they're like really happy and they've got all these beautiful friends and their life is so wonderful, you know. That's just that's just the spin. It's not reality. The reality is when you meditate, you feel everything. Right? And you feel everything double and triple, and it's intensified because you're not doing anything else but feeling. Right? Now, as you do that over time, gradually, yes, there's a movement towards peace and happiness and so on. Right? But it's not a simple and uncomplicated road, or at least for most people. For some people, maybe it is. For some extremely annoying people who can just sit in meditation and their mind just becomes peaceful naturally. But for most of us, it's a difficult road. Yeah? And so when you feel those things, just let them in. Feel them, experience them. It's okay. Don't be afraid of the fear. Don't be afraid of the anxiety. Don't try to push it away. It's just a feeling. Give yourself the permission to experience those things fully, and then leave it behind fully when you reach the end of the meditation. This also is really important. You do it, you draw a line. That's why we always sort of wrap a meditation up in a little bit of ritual, right? It might be just a bowing. It might even just be as simple as, like, you know, sitting on your meditation seat or in that particular place. But it's something that gives your meditation some boundaries. And having those boundaries helps you to contain everything within that practice. All right? And once you can contain everything within that practice, then you can feel safe. Right? So one of the things that it mentions here is about the idea of protecting yourself. Yeah? So, of course, meditation really is that which protects you in the real sense. Right? It's through your meditation that you're preserving and protecting yourself. But what happens is that, of course, we have this little thing called delusion. And we have this little thing called conceit. No? And we have this idea of who we are. No? This false idea of who we are, based on our own conceit and our own projections. And that's like partly like amplified and inflated, and partly we're much better than we really are, but actually that's just really brittle, because underneath all of that inflation and all of that ego is all of these insecurities and all of these lacks and things like that. And that is what is threatened, for sure, right? If you are your insecurities, if you are your inadequacies, if you are your falsely inflated sense of ego, then yes, those things are under threat in meditation. And so this is sometimes what's happening when you feel those sense of fears and anxieties, is that those things are fighting back. Your ego is fighting back. Your conceit is fighting back. Your pride is fighting back. All of those things are like, no, 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 no. I can see. Now, I'm not going to be needed anymore. Right? Your fears are going to be afraid. They're going to be worried. Oh, I'm not going to be needed. Your anxieties are going to be anxious. Right? I'm not going to be needed anymore. And so it's like these things are all clinging to life. So this is why sometimes they lash out. So again, like I said, just to reiterate those three cases that I mentioned. First case is if you experience such things just occasionally from time to time in meditation, just don't worry about it, just keep going. If you have an underlying or associated mental health condition and you experience these kind of negative reactions in meditation, then get some experienced advice or professional advice. And number three, if you experience these things on a regular or semi-regular basis in meditation, then know that they are part of that process. Learn to accept them, to face them, and to not fear them. It may take some time. Right? It might not, you know, be just go away. It may take some time, but eventually those things will pass. They have to pass, of course, right? Everything passes. Right? You might think that they're going to last forever. They can't last forever. All right. So Wolfram from Germany, how's it going, Wolfram? Should I observe my feeling during meditation, or should I merge with them? It seems that observing blocks me from merging with peace and stillness. Right? How do I get calm then? Okay, so that's an interesting kind of question. So when we're meditating, it's quite a subtle question, but when we're meditating, right, you can feel that idea of observing. Like when you're observing, then there's an observer and the observed. So that's two things, right? Two separate things. And when you have two separate things, you have a duality, and you don't have unification, and you don't have stillness. So as you meditate, there's a gradual process where those things become dropped, and where the difference between the observing and the observed, between the observer and the observed, fades away. Okay. But the point here is that you can't push it. You have to let it take its own good time. All right? And if you're feeling like, there's something obstructing me, right? Like I want to merge and I want to be one, right? The problem here is not the fact that you're observing in your meditation. The problem is that you're restless. Right? The problem is you want to push your meditation when your meditation isn't ready for it. So don't worry about that. If you feel those feelings, don't worry about that. Just keep on going, okay? What happens is that it's a very subtle process in meditation, but what happens is that essentially you have like this kind of nominal difference between the observing mind and the observed reality, which might be the breath or it might be the metta in meditation or whatever. And that observing mind and that observed reality, they have something in common, right? Some qualities in common. And the more that goes on, the more the meditation goes on, the more in common they have. They reflect each other's qualities. Right? So the qualities of peace and stillness and so on, they reflect each other's qualities. And so the difference between them becomes less and less. And so the longer you sit there in meditation, that distinction, that felt distinction between the observer and the observed gradually fades away. Yeah? But you have to let that take its own time. It doesn't happen because you push them together. It happens because those things no longer actually have any differences between them, because they've learned to reflect each other. And when that happens, those things will merge and they'll unite all by themselves. So just be patient, keep on watching, keep on practicing, and your mind will find its place of stillness by itself. Okay, so now it's 4:15. I believe it's time to wrap up. Do we have any quick questions from the audience? Anyone? Yeah? Looks like we're going to wrap up. I think we... Do we have a KM group? I think there's a KM meeting afterwards. So, we'll do that. Okay, let's finish by paying respects to the Triple Gem.